Let's continue reading verses 3 through 8 of Romans 12. Now, in these verses, we have the believer's responsibility to serve others in the body of Christ. Romans 12, verses 3 through 8. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. Once again, let's start this section now with some background notes. In verse 3, Paul speaks of the grace that was given to him. Now, what grace was that, anyway? Paul was thinking here particularly of God's grace shown to him in calling him to the special position that he had as an apostle. And not only was Paul called to be an apostle, but he was especially called to be an apostle to the Gentiles. Look back at chapter 11 and verse 13. For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am an apostle to the Gentiles. Let me also read Galatians 2, verses 7 and 8. Here Paul says that the gospel for the uncircumcised, that is the Gentiles, had been committed to me as the gospel for the circumcised, that's the Jewish people, was committed to Peter. For he, that is God, who worked effectively in Peter for the apostleship to the circumcised, also worked effectively in me toward the Gentiles. And then notice in verse 9 of Galatians 2, that Paul refers to this as the grace that had been given to me. So the grace that Paul is talking about here in verse 3 of Romans 12 that had been given to him is that special position that he has as an apostle, particularly an apostle to the Gentiles. The church at Rome was primarily comprised of Gentile believers. And so in verse 3, Paul is reminding them that what he was relating to them as Gentile Christians had the Lord's authority behind it. He was an apostle, particularly called to be an apostle to the Gentiles. The same general thought is in chapter 15, verses 15 and 16. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written more boldly to you on some points, as reminding you because of the grace given to me by God, that I might be a minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering of the Gentiles might be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. One of the great truths that was revealed to the Apostle Paul was the truth that the church was the body of Christ. Our Lord did not reveal that truth in the Gospels. It was revealed later to the Apostle Paul. This was all part of the grace, you see, that was given to the Apostle Paul. So Paul had the privilege and responsibility not only to bring the gospel to the Gentiles, but also teach this great truth of the church as the body of Christ, that Jew and Gentile believers were brought into one body, that Christ is the head of the body, and every individual believer is a member of that body and has a vital function to fulfill in that body. This section of Romans 12 before us is one of the great body life passages in the New Testament. There are others. 1 Corinthians 12 is another great body life passage in the New Testament. And certainly you have Ephesians chapters 2 through 4 bringing out the great truth of the church as the body of Christ. Well, more we could say on the background, but let's move now to our doctrinal point. So the doctrinal point for these verses is the godly believer practices the biblical concept of body life. The godly believer practices the biblical concept of body life. Now, what's the biblical concept of body life? It's more than just the fact that we are the body of Christ. The biblical concept of body life is that we serve one another. Not that the members of the body serve us, but that we as members serve them. We serve the body. That's the biblical concept of body life. Our function in the body of Christ is to serve the body, not vice versa. Too many Christians have the wrong concept that the body is to serve me. No, the biblical concept of body life is we as members serve the body. Now, do you have the biblical concept of body life? Well, now, how do we properly serve the body? A number of points are made in this section about body life and about the proper function of members in the body. Point number one, you are not the only member of the body. You are not the only member of the body. The end of verse 3. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. In other words, you're not the only one who has faith. Each member of the body has been given a measure of faith. Notice, by the way, it says faith, not knowledge. There's a tendency for some Christians to think, when they have a lot of Bible knowledge or a lot of knowledge concerning the Christian faith, that somehow they're more important members of the body. Not so. I know a Christian man who thinks he's a more important member of the body because he believes he has more knowledge of the things of God than just about anyone else. He spends a lot of his time writing letters to individual Christians and churches to correct them because he thinks that he has the last word on the truth. He needs to practice the biblical concept of body life. Remember, you are not the only member of the body. Another important point about body life. You are a body member, not a club member. You are a body member, not a club member. Verses 4 and 5. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. The church is not a social club, even though some Christians treat the church that way. The church is a body. It's an organism, not an organization. As an organism, every member is vital and needed for the proper function of the body. Verse 5 again, we are members one of another. In a social club, of course, you can join in or drop out. It doesn't make any difference. The club goes on with or without you. But in a body, every member is vital and important. The body suffers when a member doesn't function properly or drops out. So on the one hand, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. But on the other hand, don't think of yourself as unimportant. If you're a Christian here this morning, you are a member of the body of Christ. And therefore, you are important for the proper functioning of the body. Don't be a Christian hermit. You are to be involved. Are you a Christian hermit? You only come out of your hermit's hut on Sunday morning? That's not practicing the biblical concept of body life. Remember, you are a body member, not a club member. And a third important point is you are a gifted member of the body. You are a gifted member of the body. Verse 6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. You are not only a member of the body, but a gifted member of the body. That is, you do have a spiritual gift, at least one. Now you might say, hey Dave, I'm not sure about that. I know I'm a member of the body, but I don't know whether I'm a gifted member. Let me read to you 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So you do have a gift. You have at least one spiritual gift. Now, a number of spiritual gifts are listed here in Romans chapter 12. Not all of them, but a number of them. Prophecy there at the end of verse 6. That is the spiritual gift of speaking forth the word of God. Now, we're all to be involved in speaking forth the word of God, but some are gifted in speaking forth the word of God. In verse 7, we have ministering or serving. This particular area of service mentioned here is the ministering to the material needs of the saints, like the deacons in Acts chapter 6. Now, all of us should do what we can to meet the material needs of fellow believers. But it's also a spiritual gift. Maybe that's your spiritual gift. Those who have this spiritual gift sense more than others the various needs of fellow believers. You know, the last part of verse 7 has greatly influenced my life. He who teaches in teaching. The idea here is let him who teaches spend his time and put his emphasis on teaching. Now, as a younger Christian, I thought I could do it all. I felt guilty if I was not involved in every single Christian activity going. And then the Lord convicted me through this verse. That is, if you're called to teaching, then you're wrong if you don't put lots of time and effort in on that gift. Hours and hours of studying and writing and preparing. Verse 8 mentions several other spiritual gifts: exhortation or encouraging, giving, leading, and showing mercy. Did you know that was a spiritual gift? Maybe you have it. It has to do with relieving stress. Maybe you have that gift. And then you'll be able to say when somebody comes up to you and says, what's your spiritual gift? You say, I'm a shower of mercy. They'll look at you, what spiritual gift is that? I never saw that. Then show them this passage. There it is. It's a spiritual gift. Remember, the godly believer practices the biblical concept of body life. Practical application for these verses of Romans 12. Ask not what the body can do for you, but what you can do for the body. Ask not what the body can do for you, but what you can do for the body. Now, some of you remember the well-known statement that President Kennedy made in his inaugural address in 1960. Ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. Well, Romans chapter 12 certainly applies that concept to our function in the body. Look at verse 6 again. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them or exercise them. Get involved and you'll find out what your spiritual gift is. That's always a question that students come up to me with when we go over this matter of spiritual gifts and everybody has spiritual gifts. How do I know what my gift is? What's the biblical answer? Get involved and you will come to know where your spiritual gift lies, what your spiritual gift is, as people are blessed through what you're doing. And you'll be blessed in your own soul. Don't think of how the body can serve you and meet your needs or relieve your stress or give to you. That will happen. But don't think that way. Catch the biblical concept of body life. Ask not what the body can do for you, but what you can do for the body.